Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
OGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is The Drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
A $39 steak bowl at Chipotle in California. That's Joe Biden's America right there, and California's economy. Donald Trump has to pay $9,000, a gag order against him. Absolutely unconstitutional, anti-First Amendment, outrageous. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. According to a new poll, a clear majority of U.S. voters pick border security as a top issue for Congress to tackle. And here to talk about it with me, Chris Klemm is a former Border Patrol chief, and he is a partner with Americans for Prosperity. Chris, thanks for coming back on the show. I appreciate it.
Hey, glad to be back on, although I was going to go get something to eat, and I'm in California right now. I don't know if I'm going to pay $40 for a steak bowl at Chipotle. That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? And I've seen now commercials where they offer McDonald's and things, and they say prices higher in California.
Yeah, well, I think I'm just going to drink water and get back to Arizona as quickly as I can tomorrow.
Yeah, it's sticker shock, man. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, just do a fast while you're out there. You'll feel good, and then you'll cleanse yourself.
There you go. Well, we need to cleanse the border. We've got a lot of problems going on, And I'm glad you got me on talking about this poll result. I mean, the message is resonating across America that we have to secure our border. It's paramount. It's first and foremost on any country, any government's roles and responsibility. And then, we've got to do the right thing when it comes to immigration. This administration is not doing it. They're just letting people in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it seems like border security is dead for the rest of the year, which is just amazing to me. It's outrageous. But once again, the Republicans, they went along with the Democrats' plan, and they said Ukraine's border is more important than our own border. And I just think people have had it.
Yeah, that's sickening, right? I mean, look, I'm all about helping out our neighbors and our allies, but, it has to start here at home first. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Look, the amount of money we have spent, I mean, not that I'm a big fan of all these different social programs that this administration is pushing through, but if you think about just a few years ago, then Speaker Pelosi said we didn't have $5 billion to build a wall. But yeah, we've spent almost $100 billion going to another country, yep. Fighting their wars when we could have resolved this. We had the plan in place. Under President Trump, we were building everything, which, remind your listeners, this was not just a Trump plan. This was a agency plan by the Border Patrol agents that was finally having the leadership from Washington to push it through, and it was all shut down under this administration. And again, you just put the numbers and the dollars and cents that we're spending everywhere else except here at home. It just does it. It's just ridiculous. So, I mean, again, let's help out our friends and neighbors around the world, but it has to start here, especially all the stuff that's going on, you know, domestically here and as well around the world.
Well, I think if you ask voters, they'd say we can help our friends, but we got to fix America first. And that's why the poll that you guys put out here from Public Opinion Strategies and Americans for Prosperity, nearly 6 in 10 voters, 57%, said that border reform legislation is more important than all other things Congress could be working on. I mean, that's a big deal. A plurality of voters said they were most in favor of a hypothetical policy to secure our border and ports. Another 36% said they most wanted to establish clear and predictable rules and laws for our immigration system. Nearly three quarters of voters, 73%, said they were most likely to trust Border Patrol agents and officials a great deal on the issue of immigration. 69% saying the same of both local law enforcement officials and border region residents. Now, that's the good news for guys like you, Chris Klemm, who retired Border Patrol chief. People are standing with law enforcement and they know that crime is an issue, and they're starting to see the parallels here between the border and crime on the streets. I mean, here in Philadelphia, where you've got a fentanyl crisis and we hear about it all the time, they're starting to make these linkages and realizing, hey, you know, we are a border state just as much as Texas is.
Yeah, well, we've always said it. Without border security, every state's a border state. You've got not only fentanyl issues, but you've got trafficking issues right there going on, and that's all connected with that underground element and the cartels and the transnational criminal organizations. You know, it's very comforting to see these results, the plurality of Americans when it comes down to our border security. I mean, really not since probably 9/11 did we have that type of, you know, focus from a majority, because people are seeing this and it's resonating. And I think that's something it's good. It's also, as you mentioned, very comforting to know that there's credibility with people like myself and other people that are speaking the truth. We've lived it. We've experienced it. We tried to fix it. Our hands were tied. And so that's good, because they're not listening to some of this media that's out there just twisting it. So it's important that America hear the truth, see the truth. And, you know, I think the poll and what Americans for Prosperity has been doing is come up with some, you know, a very complex issue, but we've tried to make it very where, hey, it can be solved if the right people on the legislative side of the House in Congress would take this up. And as you mentioned just a few minutes ago, they pretty much, you know, it's not going anywhere. We're going to be treading water at best between now and the results of the upcoming November election.
I know that we're also talking about all these Chinese men who've crossed the border illegally, able-bodied Chinese men. I think the number's up by 56% or something like that. I mean, I don't think people, like, China just doesn't let you leave. I'm very suspicious of this, Chris Klemm. I really am. I'm very suspicious of this and what's happening here. We keep hearing about Chinese cyber attacks, and we're told that we need warrantless surveillance on Americans through FISA. But at the very same time, we have people on the known terror watch list coming through the border, and then they're being released. And then we have all these Chinese nationals coming in, too. And we're told, don't worry about that, but the government better be able to spy on you.
Yeah, I've said before, you know, I don't like broad brushing a complete demographic, but you're right. You just don't leave China. You have to be allowed to leave China.
Right.
And while I don't have the numbers directly in front of me, I think 2 years ago it was like only 450 Chinese nationals caught illegally, and then it went up to 24,000 last year, and then we're already met and exceeded that halfway through the year. And let alone, this is the second time in I think 4 or 5 months that FBI Director Wray has talked about how the bells and whistles and all the lights and all the alarms he's seeing when it comes down to, you know, threats, not since, post 9/11, you know, and even, you know, more recently, not since the attack in Israel. You know, this is stuff that should wake up this White House, wake up the members of Congress to say, hey, we've got to do something. American lives are at risk. We don't need to wait for something to happen to react. You know, look, we have an obligation. The government is, I think this administration is betraying the American people by not securing the borders. And that's where it all starts from. And again, it's just impacting everybody. And, you know, the polls are showing it. So, again, I wish it wasn't. I wish they could put a guy like me out of work because the border was secure and we felt safe. But until such time, I'm going to keep talking about it.
All right. You're a smart guy and you're a cop. So you're a street smart guy. It's a general election. You know, the majority of Americans think this is a huge issue. So why isn't Biden even pretending like he cares about border security? What do you think it's all about?
Well, you look, he is pretending is what he's doing, because he's pointing fingers like he didn't pass his bipartisan Senate bill that he was in favor. Well, they didn't even look at the House bill, which was about border security. And at the end of the day, he's ignored this, and he's trying to build his base of progressive liberal folks.
Yep.
And it wasn't until the poll numbers were so bad did they even do something. And they're playing numbers games. They're reporting certain things. They're flying in people that are taken away from the arrest, but it's still people being flown in that would have normally come into the country illegally. They're allowing them to come in on this crazy app. This is all about positioning for control. And again, our brains are designed to reason with facts, and we're not getting those out of this administration. You know, so I still believe that there is a little more truth to trying to fill the electoral college or up the representative body. If you can pump in millions of people into one area, that may give one more congressional rep that could vote for the majority. You know, same thing when it comes down to electoral college and all these things. Without the facts of why they're allowing this to happen, our brain requires us to reason. And that's one of these things that, to me, it sounds reasonable. Try to shift the demographics into, you know, their power, because you don't need to be a citizen to be counted in the census under this administration. And if that gives them one more rep that votes on the party line, that increases their power. And that's, I mean, other than that, why else would they be doing this? Because they're damaging. And no country in the world, let's just make this very clear, no country in the world can handle immigration lawfully or illegally like we're doing right now and still survive. We're 8 million known people have come in illegally, plus the million, and I think 1.8 plus million known gotaways. I mean, that's ridiculous. And so you just got to figure they're just trying to figure a way to shift power for the long game. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I mean, the fact is Democrats are open borders. They want open borders. The progressive kooks, they want it. They're not hiding. And that's what they got. That's what they're doing. So, Chris Klamm, it's a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. I appreciate it. Keep up the good work. And Americans for Prosperity Foundation.org. And Chris, where can we follow you on social media?
You know, I'm more active on the X with the former Twitter at C Klamm Official, at C Klamm Official. You know, I post there, you know, daily and forward some things with some context. Hey, I appreciate you, Rich, having me on and continue to talk about this. We've got to talk about this until it gets right, whether it's now or down the road. We have to get it right for America's sake. And so thank you for having me on.
Chris Klamm, appreciate it, my friend. Have a great day.
You got it. You too.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
Excellent. Excellent, excellent. Excellent stuff. Okay, cool. Let me just ask Greg, this is, can I announce it? Can I announce this?
Great radio.
What? What?
You mumbling to yourself.
I'm mumbling about what I'm doing to people so that they know.
You're reading a text that you, as you send it.
Okay.
Oh, he's typing. I'll give play by play. This is riveting.
Hang on.
I'll give color.
Shut up, both of you.
He's typing away.
All right. So, listen, this is a thing that might be happening.
He looks angry.
I can't say it. Stop it. Listen, cheese ball in the...
You know, I have a story about him getting angry the one time.
What happened?
You yelled at me.
I did not.
What was that?
I've never yelled
it's
at you
like
in
once
my
a
life.
Week.
That's not true. I've never yelled at you in my life. I don't do that. Don't lie.
You yell at him on air. Off air, no. But on air...
On air, yes. Not off air. I yell at you on the air, never off the air.
I didn't
Let's
make
just
that
be
distinction.
Clear.
I didn't make that distinction. I just said you yelled at me.
Yeah, on the air.
Yeah, you get yelled at on the air all the time.
No, look, there might be a thing that we might be doing. That's all I can say.
Whoa.
Yeah. It might be a thing. We might be doing that thing. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you beyond that. I can't say anything else. You know what I mean? So what do you want me to say?
Why'd you bring it up?
Because I just saw the text message and I thought maybe I could talk about it and then that would be good. But now I can't. So not so good.
So Greg said, don't say anything.
He said, I can't say anything yet. So it could be good. That's all I'm saying. Don't worry about it. You two just go back to doing your little bitty thing that you do. The two of you just sit there and chit-chat and argue about nonsense. What are you arguing about today, by the way? What's today's topic that Matt DeSantis and Henry are arguing about?
Well, we were just discussing on whether or not the Sixers should draft LeBron James's son in the June NBA draft in order to lure LeBron here in free agency.
I say do it.
I say do it with a second-round pick.
I say, are we WIP? No? Not so much, huh?
You asked.
That wasn't my fault. That's Henry. It's all Henry. He brings up these strange topics in the middle of the show, and then I just hear him chirping into my ear the entire time. I would have liked to have listened to your conversation with Chris Klemm. The parts I heard were fascinating, but unfortunately, most of what I heard was just Henry's endless ramblings about LeBron James and Bronny James.
But were you able to dump the F-bomb when he said the F-word?
I don't think he said that.
Oh, he did. You weren't paying attention. Didn't. Well, thanks. Now we lose our FCC license because you two were chatting like the Golden Girls.
I wasn't totally checked out. I was still listening.
I don't know how to hit the dump button.
That's problematic.
Isn't that in your training?
Oh, yeah. The training was, do you know how to do the dump button? I said, yes. Oh, I see it here. It's green. So what happens if I hit that button right now?
You're going to wipe out 10 seconds of audio.
And what happens? Like, so somebody's listening. What does that mean?
It'll skip ahead almost, like, because you know there's a delay.
Yeah.
So it'll just kind of fuse where you hit the dump button and then where it lets out.
So what if I say...
Don't.
No, don't. I'm just trying to think how this could be interesting. So what if I were to say something like, Captain, and then I hit dump, and then I say America. How soon until people hear me say America?
You got to count 10 seconds.
And so then they'll hear it.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
No, okay, so... If you say it right now at 5:18:30.
Yeah. Captain, I hit the dump button just
you
now.
You have to wait 10 seconds. So at 5:18:40, you can say another word and the listeners will hear it.
America.
Yeah.
Did that work?
Did you hit it?
Yeah, but nothing
Why'd you
happen?
Hit the dump button?
Nothing happened, though.
It's not going to impact your audio.
We're still talking. We're living in real life.
Well, don't hit it again because we only have a handful of them. They run out, you know.
They run out?
Yeah.
We run out of dumps?
They have you on a 30-second delay, I believe.
Yeah, like
they don't trust you.
I remember that Chrissy Mayer interview you did the one time.
Yeah.
We almost ran out because she kept doing it. It needs a certain time to recharge, and she kept dropping, you know, expletives every so often. So it was very shady.
Interesting. Now, if you listen on the stream, there's no dump button, so then they hear everything.
Yeah.
I actually think that's not true. I think the stream is...
No, it is.
Subjected to the dump.
There was something on WIP a couple months ago where a caller cursed out one of the hosts, and it went out over the stream.
I thought ours was effective.
Now, people are complaining that I'm not reading tweets on the air, so let me read some tweets on the air. Sid is saying he's not reading tweets today or taking calls. He's a big shot now. We did take calls.
We took a bunch of them.
Oh, so then you stopped answering the phone.
No, I've answered the phone the entire day.
You need to keep soliciting.
I guess Sid tried to call. You didn't take his call.
I always answer if Sid calls. I think Sid's hilarious. Sid knows this. If Sid had called in, I'm certain he would have been on air.
Chris Eppolito says it's all about the Fazools. No sponsorship paying for the check-in on social media unless you post something really stupid like saying Rich probably won't drink on Friday. You know what? Listen, I got a lot to do here, and I gotta worry about, you know, reading tweets on the air too, courtesy of Cherry Hill Vavo, where relationships matter. Yes, I do. Karen Thomas says, our room is booked. Can't wait to spend my birthday with the Zioli Army at the Grand Hotel on Friday. Karen Thomas, happy early birthday. Matt DeSantis, can you please remind me on Friday to wish Karen Thomas a happy birthday?
I will have
live that. On Friday.
I will have that in your notes.
Henry, please don't throw cheese balls at her. All right?
I can't make that same promise.
I appreciate that.
After a couple beers, who knows?
And, the other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that the Associated Press has admitted that the indictments that just happened in Arizona are to deter Republicans from questioning elections. I will talk about that as the show progresses as well. Let me play a clip, though. I like this. This is good. Got some good stuff here today. This is now here. Let's see. I just sent this to you, Matt, a short time ago. This is a crazy college student on Columbia's campus who short circuits when a reporter corners her after she demands that the university feed her. She says the university has an obligation to feed her and all the others who have seized Hamilton Hall. This is happening in real time right now. This is courtesy of Colin Rugg on Twitter. Take a listen.
Why should the university be obligated to provide food to people who have taken over a building?
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take up this building. Now, would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian.
Stop it. We're revolutionaries and we're taking over this hall, but it's been 4 hours and we need vegan cheesesteaks in here, stat. Gluten-free, vegan-free, and no peanut. Nothing in peanut oil. Right away. We are the revolution, but it's been 35 minutes and I need a Powerade, sugar free with no red dye number 5 though. One of the people has a red dye allergy. Viva la revolucion.
Reminds me of that hunger strike that was going on at Yale about a week ago where they were on a hunger strike, supposedly.
Yeah.
But they were caught snacking on sushi.
Yeah, right. Well, sushi doesn't count if you're in a hunger strike. Like, what? It was just a spicy tuna roll. That's not food. What about that one Democrat congressman who did a hunger strike and it lasted six hours?
It was 8 hours. Yeah,
8 hours,
He just fasted for a little bit.
Yeah, he basically did intermittent fasting. He's like, okay, I hope I prove my point by skipping breakfast and lunch. Now I'm going to go have a steak dinner.
It was Greg Cesar of Texas.
Do you have that audio of him?
I can find
it. You got to find that, please. That's great. We, the revolutionaries who have taken over this hall, it's been 2 hours, and I have yet to get my gluten-free crackers and soy. And we have a lot of soy boys here, as you can imagine. So you're going to have to bring some soy for them. Right away. Their man boobs are starting to flatten, so they need soy stat.
I'd like to see them pull like a Sandlot type deal when they're trying to get the ball back. You know, have their DoorDash driver like pull up against the side of the building and like try and use like a vacuum cleaner contraption to suck up the food, get it up there.
I don't think these people want to work very hard, Henry. They just want it delivered to them. We would like the vegan option, please. The vegan sushi. And that doesn't count as food. Sushi's not food. We don't care if we offend the Japanese people with that. We don't care. We need gluten-free, dairy-free pizza. ASAP, we're starving.
For a second.
What's that?
Oh, sorry.
Hot mic.
Sorry, apologies.
We got to set a hot mic.
What is your first day?
I forgot I had it on.
You mean to hit the dump button again?
No, I didn't curse or anything. I was just telling Henry to put my PC in.
We need dairy-free, gluten-free pizzas over here, stat. Helicopter drop a bunch of peanut dust all over the crowd. That would be great. you want to hear more of this lunatic? Go ahead.
Do not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
Humanitarian aid.
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
They haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
Wow. They were looking for a commitment. All right, a commitment. Commitment. Amazing. Okay. Fun times. basic humanitarian aid. That is also soy-free, nut-free, dairy-free, wheat-free, gluten-free, non-GMO, and also has to be fair trade as well. And it should be from a co-op, where the employees also are the owners. Other than that, we'll take anything you give us, as long as it meets those demands. And we want the person who delivers it to be non-binary. We don't want any male drivers. We want a non-binary driver. Other than that, we're all in on whatever you provide us to eat.
I think Cheeseball Man should swing by with some snacks.
And we want purified water, but it better be from the mountains of Colombia where the people are oppressed. I want the same water they sell at Starbucks, that overpriced water that's probably just from a tap. What do they call that water at Starbucks? Like, it's several dollars a bottle. I would never drink it. I'd rather just go to the bathroom, put my head under, and just drink that. Here's what I want to know. Why don't these people just go to the bathroom and just drink some water? They're not going to die if they don't eat for a day. Where did this concept of you die if you don't eat lunch, where did this come from? I mean, last time I checked, if you don't eat lunch, that's called either skipping a meal, dieting, or just you decided to do brunch instead.
Well, they see that guy from Texas going on his 8-hour hunger strike, so they think.
Oh. Did you get me that audio? Did you find that?
I couldn't find it. I'm still looking. I did find that his office, the press release, they billed it as a 8-plus-hour hunger strike.
8-plus hours.
8-plus. You didn't give him enough credit.
You know, that's called sleeping, too. If you just go to sleep at night and don't get up in the middle of the night and snack, that's a hunger strike. That's what that is right there. I went 8 hours to protest the treatment of Gaza. I did not one time go down to the fridge and snack at midnight. At 2 a.m., I woke up. I was tempted to get some pretzels, but I noticed that they were not gluten-free, so I went back to bed. 8 hours. Yeah, that used to just be called nighttime. That's what we used to call that, sleep. Now it's a hunger strike. Oh, Ed Durr just texted me. He said he did 42 hours of no food Saturday night to Monday afternoon. What change can I demand? Any change you want, buddy. Listen, I didn't drink Monday night. What change do I get? I've given up wine. No wine on Mondays. I demand better treatment of the Italian people.
You drank on air last Thursday.
I did. That's true. That's a good point. But not Friday. I want basic humanitarian needs. I need a wine and cheese platter brought in here stat. And a charcuterie. Is that how you say it?
Charcuterie.
Damn it. I can never get that word right. We got to change it to just called antipasto, like it used to be called when we used to call it that. Not all fancy talk. You know what I mean? Charcuterie. Dumb. It's antipasto is what it is. Freaking meat and cheese on a plate with a couple roasted red peppers, some crackers. Not that complicated. Not that complex. Some nice seeded bread. You're good to go. Am I right?
I agree with you.
Thank you. When did we become a society that started calling that charcuterie? I don't want to be part of that society. You know why? It's the same society that thinks that this woman's on a hunger strike since she hasn't eaten since 3:15.
You know, we're living in a society.
Thank you, George. All right, find me. Where's that clip of that guy?
I'm trying to find it. It's hard doing this while we're in the middle of a segment.
Fine. We'll take a break and then you can find it, all right?
I have some leads.
You have leads?
Yeah, I have a bunch of clips that I can rifle through. I just don't know which one is the right one.
We will continue this occupation of the building and we will go without dinner. But if you don't bring us something by 8:15, we will be dead. And our death will be on your hands. We will have gone 6 hours without meals. We had sushi, but again, that doesn't count. Just rice and fish. And we was vegan. So double doesn't count. Double secret probation food snacks. All right? And pay no attention to the combos. All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zioli. The bravery of this generation, Gen Z, it just never ceases to amaze me. I mean, they're basically storming the beach at Normandy, skipping lunch. It's basically the same thing. All right, Cherry Hill Volvo on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. I would love to see you there and support our great sponsors, our great friends over there at Cherry Hill Volvo, because they're doing a renovation extravaganza, and that means big savings for you. I was just there, got my new XC60, and it was a great experience. It's an amazing dealership. Business is great at Cherry Hill Volvo, despite the renovation and the road construction. Now, Judith recently celebrated her 75th birthday and is determined to make this a bang-up year. There are plenty of deals to be had. And right now is an incredible time to head to Cherry Hill Volvo because they are loaded with offers for spring. Their renovation sale continues and their pricing is always aggressive. And now there's incentives on top of the already aggressive pricing. And they have a tremendous inventory to choose from of new and certified pre-owned Volvos. The S-Class made it their plant in South Carolina. The XC90 with a third row. Get the kids down the shore safe and sound. And when you choose Cherry Hill Volvo, you are choosing the pricing and attention that you deserve. And the dealership that stands with us because we broadcast live from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios. So no matter what Volvo you choose, Judith, Yosef, and the entire team look forward to meeting you and taking great care of you. Make sure you tell them I sent you. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Little Temple of the Dog. I'm going hungry for 4 hours to protest what's happening in Gaza. Biden said he could not stay silent after Charlottesville. Remember that? Remember that lecture he gave? He could not. He ran because of Charlottesville. He said enough is enough. He had a bunch of people who look strangely much like recent graduates of the FBI Academy walking around in khaki pants holding tiki torches, and they were chanting things like blood and soil, which is a anti-Semitic term, apparently. I don't know for sure, but I was told that at the time. And I don't hang out with neo-Nazis or feds, so I don't know. I don't fraternize with those people. But what I'm hearing on college campuses is the same thing that they were saying in Charlottesville But we were told that was the worst day in American history besides January 6th, obviously. And that that's why Joe Biden had to run. And that this is Trump's America and this is not who we are and blah, 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 blah. And then Trump said good people on both sides, even though he wasn't talking about the people that were marching in that neo-Nazi-ish protest that was clearly staged by the feds. But anyway, Biden distorted that, twisted Trump's words, and then the great lie was told that Trump said they were very fine people. Biden literally came out the other day and said, I don't like anti-Semitism. I don't like when people don't understand the plight of the Palestinians. So people said that's his very fine moment. Well, what we're watching on college campuses right now is people who are spitting on Jewish students, and they are saying from the river to the sea, which is their version of blood and soil. And yet the White House is basically not condemning any of this. We were told they didn't shut up about Charlottesville. They didn't shut up about January 6th. You got kids now on college campuses taking over administration buildings, kicking in windows, breaking glass. And for 4 years, I had to hear about Charlottesville on January 6th and how an insurrection was looming at every corner. And you, the mom in yoga pants, speaking out of the school board meeting, you might be a terrorist. And you, the dad in the Cabela's fishing hat, you may be a terrorist. And these people are doing all these things. And the White House says, please don't do that. That's really bad. Joe Biden gave a hellscape speech in Philadelphia where Independence Hall was they had red lights shining on it. It looked like a speech from hell. It was going on about Trump's America and how America is going to revolution and scaring the bejesus out of us. Every day we've had to hear about this. Now, his people are out there spitting on Jewish students, calling for genocide, saying all these things and destroying public property and or private property and going over and taking over administration buildings. And the White House says the following, and I quote, hate speech and hate symbols have no place in America. That's it. That's all they said. Hate speech and hate symbols have no place in America. Really? See, I was told up until this happened that the hatred was everywhere and that the hatred was looming everywhere. And then all of a sudden now it actually happens and it's your people doing it. And now you just come out and put out a one word paragraph condemning it. Not a big speech, not a primetime address, not coming out and saying this isn't who we are. Hate has no home here. Not who we are. I had to deal with that for years, too. All these obnoxious people with their signs in their yard, in the main line in particular. Hate has no home here. Well, hate is on college campuses right now, smashing windows and taking over buildings and spitting on Jewish students and making them intimidated and shutting down classes and also canceling commencements and forcing a shelter in place order. And the administration is saying nothing because it's their people doing it. Their people doing it. We were told that any minute now there's going to be another insurrection. January the 6th. The high holy day of the left. And at any moment now, it could happen again. And people are smashing in windows and taking over college buildings. And the White House goes, please don't do that. That's bad. No hellscape speech in Philadelphia. No big national address. No, that's not who we are lecture. Where's the that's not who we are lecture? I want the that's not who we are lecture, damn it. Ah, but when it's their people doing it, and he needs the votes. You know, it's a bunch of guys with short hair who look strangely like feds walking around with tiki torches. That's easy to condemn because they work for you. I mean, because they're clearly spouting hate and they're not going to vote for you. But when you're saying the same kind of anti-Semitic rhetoric on a college campus, and the only difference is these people are not feds, they're college students, and Joe Biden needs their votes, suddenly now, we don't say a word about it, except that's really, please, that's not nice. Don't do that. It's not nice. By the way, this is the big story of the day brought to you by my buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. This is from the University of Washington, where Jewish students are spat on and told to go back to the gas chambers. I want the lecture. This is not who we are. This is not America. I want to hear this from the president. I've heard for 4 years about Charlottesville. They didn't shut up about it, about all those guys walking around with tiki torches. And I guess Gap had a sale on khakis because they all had khakis on, too, which was amazing. You know, if the government buys them in bulk, though, for all their undercover operatives and their informants, well, then they get a nice deal on that. They still pay more money because it's the government. But anyway, for 4 years, and shut up about that or January the 6th. Every 5 minutes I had to hear about those things. Now you got people spewing actual hate, smashing windows, taking over administration buildings. Not a word. Just please, it's not nice. Take a listen to this, University of Washington. Take a listen.
To keep going to your classes, to keep being proud, to stay safe. We've warned students about the encampment and told them to stay away from it.
Olivia Feldman is the co-president of Students Supporting Israel.
Do you feel safe on campus?
No, I do not feel safe on campus. I have been called names. I have been spit at. I have been laughed at.
And she's a great-granddaughter of Holocaust survivors.
It is a very, very visceral feeling in me when somebody tells me to go back to the gas chambers.
The people united will never be defeated!
She's calling for fellow Jewish students to stay proud while protesters aren't planning to leave anytime soon.
That was Julie Calhoun reporting.
I'll tell you, sounds a lot to me like what these Jewish students are experiencing is hate. And I was told hate has no home here, except when it's their people doing the hating, then suddenly hate has a home. And hate doesn't get condemned. Not by this administration. Mealy mouth little words that are said here and there. You're not going to get an Oval Office address. Could you imagine, just for a moment right now, imagine if these were white students who were screaming this about black students. Do you think that you'd hear from Biden? Do you think you'd hear from the administration? Do you think they'd be blaming Trump? What do you think? Just out of curiosity. Or if they were a bunch of skinhead neo-Nazis, because I'm told that they're everywhere, like everywhere. I haven't seen any, and I've been driving around all the time. I don't know where they are, but I'm told they're everywhere. Neo-Nazi white supremacists are everywhere, apparently. I've never seen one, but they're there. Well, if neo-Nazi white supremacists were spitting on Jewish students at college campuses and screaming and yelling at them and telling them to go back to the gas chambers, do you think Joe Biden would come out and say something? You think the Democrats would condemn it? You think they'd come out and say this is Trump's America, this is not who we are, and hate has no home here? See, it's funny because that's literally what's happening on college campuses, only it's not the fake white supremacist neo-Nazis that we keep hearing about. It's college students that vote Democrat that Biden needs to vote for them him in November. And so we're getting mealy mouth fake condemnation from the White House. And this is the same hypocrisy we saw during George Floyd. Same thing. We watched as America was set on fire. Courthouses were firebombed. Police cars got Molotov cocktails. We watched as many, many official proceedings were disrupted and nothing happened. Billions of dollars in damage. Nothing happened. Nobody got in trouble. It was fine. It was all good. They were mostly peaceful protesters burning down America for a couple months. It was all good. Fine. But I got to get the daily January the 6th lecture every day because the grandma went in and took a selfie and then went pee-pee and then she was sent to solitary confinement. But this stuff is okay because it's their people doing it. Here's Elise Stefanik from a press conference at the U.S. Capitol today. Let's start with cut number three. Oh, I'm sorry, cut number four, Matt. Cut number four.
The world is watching as the leadership of our so-called elite colleges and universities continue to fail to condemn anti-Semitism and protect Jewish students on campus. Just look at the abject failure of Columbia's president to enforce their own code of conduct that they gave lip service to during the recent education and workforce hearing. Last night, the pro-Hamas anti-Semitic mob took over an academic building. The university leadership has lost complete control. It is a disgrace, and it is untenable, and we as House Republicans will hold them to account.
Now, Republicans are seizing on this because Republicans are smart enough to know that the parents are watching And parents who are paying $80,000 to $100,000 a year to send their kids to these schools think this is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And what they're doing is they're turning around and they're saying, you know what? I'm not paying this money so that we don't have graduation. I'm not paying this money so that your classes are going to be virtual. This is not what we signed up for. And if Joe Biden was actually running in a general election, he would come to the White House podium and he would condemn this. He would condemn it. But he's not doing that because he wants their votes, because he's not locked down their crazy base yet. So, you know, I mean, it's very simple. He needs their votes. So there you go. Not that complicated. Not that complicated at all. When the Republicans are speaking about what's going on in college campuses, what they're doing is they're addressing their parents. Because while all these crazy kids might be voting Democrat, their parents, not so much. Here is Fox News' Lawrence Jones interviewing an anti-Israel protester on Columbia's campus. He denies that Jewish students feel unsafe on campus. Cut number 5.
How do you feel about them taking over the building right now?
I think that their cause is a just cause, and I hope that the administration really hears their demands. I think they're just demands.
Do you feel like it was right to hold 3 of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative? Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
Kali just came back.
This is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So this is what you see at these protests. Once you get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on October the 7th, the rape of women, what's happening there, they deny what happened. As you know, that it's actually factual now that the janitorial workers were blocked inside of the building. And anytime you bring that up, the Jewish cause, the Jewish people, the kids that feel unsafe on campus, they deny the reality of it, guys.
Well, look, it doesn't matter because it's only their reality, and everybody experiences reality in their own way. But even Mika Brzezinski has declared that these college protests look a lot like January the 6th. And, you know, that's a shame because they wanted J6, the High Holy Day of the Left, to be their special day that only they got to roll out and use. And they don't want comparisons to that. And they're really upset. Now what you're watching on college campuses can be compared to the High Holy Day of the Left, J6. They wanted that to be special. And by the way, it's never too early to start your January the 6th shopping for those people, the insurrectionists on your list that you love. What do you get 4 years after January the 6th? Do you know, is it paper? Is it wood? Is it leather? Do you know the Emily Post etiquette guide?
I don't.
I got the, my son went to an insurrection and all I got was this stupid t-shirt. I got that for somebody as a gift. But, you know. Now we're just having insurrections at all these colleges. So now January the 6th is not as special anymore. You know what I mean? I hate when people do that. It takes away the specialness of something. It's like, I thought that was our thing. You know? I thought you only went to the movies and made out with me. Now I find out you do it with every guy. It's okay. It's really awkward. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that happened to me in high school. I'm not saying that at all. But anyway, here's Mika Brzezinski declaring pro-Palestinian college protests look a lot like January the 6th. What a shame. Cut 11.
What the hell is going on? Mm. What are these universities doing? Why aren't they doing something? And I'll echo the horror that this does look like January 6th. What a terrible example for our students. At the same time, these are young adults. And the question is, why do you choose to learn about the complexities of other situations around the world? But this one, you want to set up an encampment. This one, you want to scare people. This one, you want to come to the edge of violence or even go to violence.
Not the
this
edge.
One,
They're
you
breaking
risk
into buildings.
Your future and your education for. See, I think these college students obviously are missing the part where they need to see what's going on across the country with these protests, that it's now in the realm of violence. It's in the realm of hatred, whether some are peaceful or not. They need to watch the news and look at all the different arguments and be adults, or start learning to be adults and set up discussions and debates across college campuses, or their colleges or universities are going to have no choice but to expel them.
Oh, Mika's not happy, and I don't blame her. Because J6 is their special day, and we don't want these college kids ruining it. By the way, I saw a tweet. Simon Atiba, who's that reporter? Pro-Palestinian American protesters bravely pass food through the gates of Columbia Campus College in New York City amid escalating tensions. I just hope it wasn't sushi, because that doesn't count as real food. Now, Mika's not happy. She should go to the Grand Hotel, because the Grand Hotel sponsors our happy hour, and I'm going to be very happy when we're there Friday live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, for our live show from 3 to 7 p.m. Hope to see you there. It's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of fun. So, yes, these students now, people are shoving food through the gates of Columbia College. So now the students will only have had to go 3-4 minutes tops without getting a snack. Like, I hope they got some applesauce for these kids. You know what I mean? Because little kids like applesauce is my point. That's my point, because they're children. Anyway, Dr. Mike Venneri is going to give you a great smile, the smile of your dreams. He's the man. I want you to go see him today with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. What are you waiting for? Dr. Mike is the absolute best at what he does. He's the master of dental implants, and you will look great. I've been telling you about Dr. Mike for years. My entire family goes to Dr. Venneri because the level of care and commitment to dental excellence that Dr. Mike and his staff delivers to every patient is unmatched. He's been delivering results that surpass expectations, and that has made him a top dentist in New Jersey for 10 consecutive years. He has one of the most respected reputations among his peers as a master of dental implants. So, if you've been on the fence about getting that dental procedure done, reach out to Dr. Mike today. You have a choice, a clear choice for you and your family, so give Dr. Venneri a call. I promise you will not be disappointed. With two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. Call 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or visit VenneriaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenneriaDental.com. As a matter of fact, my wife has an early morning appointment with Dr. Mike tomorrow, which means I'm on dad duty. I got to get the kids all ready in the morning. Just got to remind myself of that, because it's painful. Very, very painful. But Bridget will have a great experience with Dr. Mike, as will you. VenneriaDental.com.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees.
Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.